Hey guys, so I just wanted to get this off my chest before we got going. I had recorded something for this earlier today. Obviously, it's nighttime now. I'm wearing a different shirt. But, you know, I had addressed what's going on in this country. And my sister and I uploaded the video. My sister and I, we went out to Moonlight Beach in Encinitas and participated in a paddle out with a few moments of silence. A couple of local traditions that we do during time of mourning. And that's what we did today. Very peaceful. Nothing crazy. No superhero by any means, but wanted to participate. And I wanted to get this off my chest. I stand with the Black community in their efforts to fight inequality, to fight for their equity, and to fight against racism. It is not that hard. It is not that complex. I want my voice to be clear and direct in what I'm saying. And I've got Muhammad Ali behind me, right? If I was to keep that up there and not make my voice heard, it would be very disingenuous and very hypocritical for me to just have that up there as a prop when it comes to the fight game, because he did a lot more than just fighting. So thank you guys for the time before we got started today, but definitely something that needed to be said. All right, what's going on, guys? It is June 3rd, Wednesday, 1 o'clock here out on the West Coast right now. We're going to get into some UFC talk once again today because this sport is just on fire right now. Loving every second of it. Enjoying the fights every weekend. We're going to recap some of the fights from this last weekend. We're looking ahead at UFC 250 because we got a couple of absolute thrillers coming up. All right, so one of the things I want to talk about here is the 170-pound division in the UFC. For the last couple of years, it has been dominated and ran by Tyron Woodley. Tyron Woodley is a former Mizzou wrestler. So I've, you know, kind of grown into liking him a little bit. I've enjoyed watching him fight. I was at Buffalo Wild Wings in Columbia, Missouri when he won his first title at UFC 201 against Robbie Lawler. I was there with a couple actually MMA gyms from the city. So I have very, very fond memories of watching Tyron Woodley. And actually, his whole run leading up to the title was pretty impressive himself. Here's what I want to do with Tyron Woodley is pay a little bit of respect to his title run. He knocks out Josh Koscheck. He then leg kicks Carlos Condit into oblivion. I think he has a loss to Rory McDonald, who leaves the UFC after that. And then he gets a win over Kelvin Gastelum, who misses weight. And then he gets his title shot against Robbie Lawler, where he gets the knockout. From there, he defends his title twice against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He has a solid performance against Damian Maia, boring or not, whatever you want to call it. I think that's more on Damian Maia. And then has his maybe his best victory over Darren Till in impressive fashion, showing off the power and then showing off the grappling ability. So Tyron Woodley is our second best 170-pound champion we have ever seen in the UFC. And I just feel like as his career comes to a close, he's not going to get the credit that he ultimately deserves. Here's the problem with Tyron Woodley is his last 10 rounds. He has a bad night against Kamaru Usman, right? And there's nothing to take away from that fight that is positive at all. It is five straight rounds of getting beat up on the ground, of getting out-wrestled, of out-grappled, out-striked. And this is a guy who's supposed to have the best takedown defense in the history of the UFC. At least in the welterweight division. And it almost seems as if Tyron Woodley knew that his takedown defense was really spectacular, really good, elite. And he almost just used that as a blanket around him and said, oh, I've got great takedown defense. No one will take me down. And in the last two fights, that's what happened. There's a saying in the fight game, and it goes like this. It's really hard to wake up and get out of bed for that 5 a.m. run when you wake up in silk sheets. And that's not a bad thing. That is why fighters fight. They want to get to that status and make money. That's what they're in there for. The goal of the fight game is that when you get in it, is to get out. You want to leave. You don't want to be a fighter forever. You want to make your money and go home and ride off in the sunset. You know, Tyron Woodley clearly has an entrepreneurship style mindset. He was doing hundreds of things while remaining a UFC champion. He was rapping and releasing albums. He's acting in movies. He has a role in Straight Outta Compton. He is a spokesperson for the UFC. He's on TMZ every week. He's doing a lot of things and juggling a lot of different tasks at once, wearing a lot of different hats. So he just got to a point in his career where he was no longer the elite of the elite, and that's okay. But I want his career and his title run to have some respect behind it. You know, another thing worth mentioning is Tyron Woodley is a Ferguson, Missouri guy. So to fight during these riots and to fight during this time, just more credibility being added to his name, in my opinion. And the other thing is, you know, it's easy for me to say, oh, he's waking up in silk sheets using that phrase. But he's also the one who took a huge elbow in the first round and battled through it, survived, and went all five. You know, plenty of other fighters, if he didn't want to be there, he could have easily just left in that first round. That cut was nasty, and for him to battle and fight through that, he deserves some props for that. With the performance of Gilbert Burns here this weekend over Tyron Woodley, just impressive as all hell. For a guy who's a jiu-jitsu expert, to have that it factor on his feet where he's able to keep moving, keep the head movement, the shaking, the shoulder shimming, you know, the feints and all that. Man, for a guy who is this jiu-jitsu expert, looks really good on the feet, man. And right now, you know, he's got a resume just as strong as these other guys at 170. So let's break it down here. You look at Jorge Masvidal. And his resume is probably as strong as anyone else's. They've been trying to set up this Usman fight for a really long time. They just haven't been able to just sign the names on the dotted line and make it happen for whatever reason. I don't know which party is at fault. Maybe it's neither. But Jorge Masvidal, his last three fights, pretty impressive little resume here for the 170-pound title. He beats Nate at 170. He beats Ben Askren at 170. And he beats Darren Till at 170. That's not a bad little 1-2-3 for Jorge Masvidal, and I would have no problem accepting if he's the number one contender here. Burns, Woodley, and then Damian Maia was his win before that, and he actually just jumped to the number one ranking, the number one contender spot over the rest of these guys. The other name worth mentioning is Colby Covington. Now, unfortunately for Colby, he just had his shot. He probably is as deserving as anyone else, but he had his shot against Kamaru Usman and lost. So, you know, he's probably still another fight away from getting that chance. An interesting matchup, in my opinion, would be against Stephen Wonderboy Thompson, because Wonderboy has two losses in his last couple fights, but I think he's one away. I really, really do. He is absolutely right there amongst the elite in this division and could give any of these guys a pretty tough time. The other name that's probably worth mentioning here is Leon Edwards, but he doesn't sell fights. He's kind of a boring fighter, and his resume just isn't as good as everyone else. It's RDA, it's Gunnar Nelson, Rafael Dos Anjos, Gunnar Nelson, and Cowboy are his last three wins. So kind of hanging in that mix, but I just don't think he's quite on the same level as the rest of the guys, not to mention that he ate the three-piece with a soda combo from Jorge Masvidal backstage.
Maybe not.
If you... Hey,
come over here. Stay in my face.
Tried to get him the three-piece with the soda.
So the 170-pound division is really exciting right now. I think it's probably Jorge Masvidal who deserves the shot next. He's going to sell tickets. He's going to sell fights. But after that, man, after what we saw from Gilbert Burns, he is very deserving. He is at the top of this weight class right now, and I don't see him not getting a title shot within the next year. So good on him, and a great performance this last weekend. Looking ahead to UFC 250, this upcoming Saturday, this is a pretty nice little card, okay? Obviously headlined by Amanda Nunes, and you know, every time she fights, people want to say, oh, she's awesome, she's the best female fighter in the world right now. I'm not sold that she's not the greatest of all time. Period. Point blank. She is probably the best to have ever done it inside the octagon. She has beaten every Rousey, Holm, Cyborg, She's knocked them all out. She when a striker's too long, like in her last fight against GDR, she's willing to. She can wrestle with anyone. I don't know if there's anyone better than Amanda Nunes, and I love watching her get in the cage, man. Excited to watch her fight again this weekend. The fight that's probably the most exciting here on this card. You know, you got Cody Garbrandt returning to the ring. You got Sean O'Malley returning to the ring. Both very exciting fighters for the casual fan. But the fight that's really got my attention is Aljamain Sterling versus Corey Sandhagen. This is, I am chomping at the bit watching this one. And they're not names known probably by the common sports fan. But when you're tuning in this weekend, I really hope you guys watch this fight. Because, you know, Cody Garbrandt's going to get attention. Obviously, Amanda Nunes. And then, obviously, Sean O'Malley's going to get a lot of attention. But this, to me, is the most exciting fight on this card. You have Sterling, who's kind of this funky little guy on the feet. He's really good with his kicks. He's got long legs. And he's just an exciting fighter. And then Corey Sandhagen looked outstanding in his last performance. He is able to just kind of stay in your face. He fights a lot like TJ Dillashaw, actually. Obviously tested positive for EPO. But an exciting fighter nonetheless. And Sandhagen is willing to just stand in front of your face and just trade shots. I am really excited to see this thing go down. You know, people always ask for my predictions. I think it's a really close fight. I think these guys are actually very similar fighters. I just have a hunch and a gut feeling that Sandhagen is the sharper, slightly more effective, slightly more disciplined fighter between the two, and that's why I'm probably going to give him a nod for this upcoming fight this weekend. Sandhagen is 12-1. Sterling is 18-3. This fight is going to be a doozy, my friends. When you're watching, you're sitting down, be sure you do not want to miss this one. I'm telling you right now, this is good. That's probably a wrap here on the Bo Templin Show. What are your thoughts on Tyron Woodley's career? Is he the number two all-time in the 170-pound division? What's happened in the last 10 rounds for him to get so gun-shy? He just can't really seem to land that right hand. Maybe he's relying on it too much. I don't know. What do you guys think? The other thing, is Nunes the female GOAT? Is she the GOAT, period? Questions worth asking. And then in this fight between Sterling and Sandhagen, who do you guys got? Let me know in the comments, and we'll talk next week.